We want to take this opportunity to welcome those that are visiting with us this morning. We want you to know we're happy that you're here. We'd ask that you stay a few moments after services that we might get better acquainted. If you have any questions concerning things that are stated this morning, we'd be more than happy to entertain those questions, sit down with you with an open Bible and open mind, and come to a better understanding of the Lord's will. It is our hope and our prayer that we do things in such a way that will be, you know, something that will glorify and honor God first and foremost, but second of all, that it might be edifying and understanding to you. We live in a world that, for the most part, is very negative. Over and over on our television sets every day, over our radios, and over the things that we hear about the bad and the evil and the ungodly. And we're bombarded about it daily. And daily we see how evil men can be. Men that take innocent lives. Men that have no regard for others. Men that have no regard for themselves. And men that have no regard whatsoever for God and for His will and for our responsibilities on this earth. And often we get so bombarded that we get forgetful. And we get forgetful about how blessed the people we truly are. And many times we fall into the trap of not showing the proper gratitude towards God for the blessings and for the things that He bestows upon us in this life. And sometimes when things are not going the way that we would like them to go, we become discouraged and we become disillusioned. And we want to try to point fingers, and we want to try to find out why things are the way that they are. And we need someone to blame and something to blame. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm convinced that our blessings and the things that God gives us far outweigh the things that beset us. And I think sometimes we need to fight to overcome ingratitude. And I want to talk for just a few moments this morning about overcoming ingratitude. I want you to take your Bibles out and turn them to Psalms, the 100th chapter, and look down at verse number 4. Now, gratitude simply means thankfulness. It means to be thankful. Ingratitude is a lack of gratitude, a lack of thankfulness, and an ungrateful character. But I want you to look at Psalms 100 and look at verse number 4. Enter into the gates with thanksgiving and be into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. I want you to notice it says to enter His gates with thanksgiving. And it says to be thankful to Him. We need to understand that we have much to be thankful for. We have much to praise God for. And we have much that we ought to be grateful to God for the things that He has done for us while we live in this earth. Overcoming ingratitude is necessary because ingratitude is a sin. Make no mistake about it, it is not a matter of choice. It is not a matter of a suggestion that we ought to be grateful, that we ought to be thankful. It is a command of God. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 3, and look at the first 5 verses with me. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 1 through 5. Paul would write, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasures rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. From such people, turn away." Sometimes ingratitude is a byproduct of having the wrong influence and the wrong companions in our life. Such companions can influence us to believe and fail to express the proper gratitude and thankfulness to God for what He has done for us. Notice, lovers of themselves. If that does not denote our society today, I do not know what does. Our society is wrapped up in themselves. We live in a me society. It's all about me. It's all about what I want. It's all about what pleases me. It's about what I want out of what others can do for me. We live in that me society. That does not work in Christianity. God, one of the things that He is explicit in His Word is that selfishness is not a characteristic that is compatible with being a child of God. Notice that they are unthankful. What does it mean to be unthankful? That simply means that we are not grateful, that we are not understanding of the blessings that we have. Haughty, boasters, proud, men and women who do not understand the true meaning of thankfulness and gratitude towards God. Ingratitude is a sin, and it's listed as one of the works of the flesh. Turn over to Romans chapter 1, and the writer Paul again will make this very easy to understand when he lists the sin of the Gentiles. Those who do not have God in their mind, those who have refrained and rejected His thinking. Look in Romans chapter 1, beginning in verse number 19. Because what may be known of God is manifested in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead. So they are without excuse. Because although they knew not God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. The lack of gratitude does not show honor towards God. Instead of acknowledging Him for the things that scream out that He's done for us and the truth that is all around us, there is a God, and those that openly reject Him, they are blessed and they live on His earth because of His love for them. Some openly reject Him, but a failure to honor and glorify God as a Creator is a byproduct of an unthankful heart. The world calls it wisdom. God calls it foolishness. In Psalm 14, verse 1, the fool says that there is no God. And in Acts chapter 17, verse 28, talking to a group of idolaters in the city of Athens, Paul made the argument that we are His offspring. We live and move and have our being because of God. We would not have life if it were not for God. We would not be able to enjoy anything in this life that brings us any amount of happiness, any amount of pleasure, any amount of comfort. We would have none of it if it were not for the love of the Almighty God. If we do not understand that we are the ones that need God, God does not need us. And we need to be thankful for what we do have. And we need to try to demonstrate that by the love that we have for Him and for those that He has commanded us to love. Overcoming ingratitude. What do you do? How do you make sure that you don't fall into this trap? Well, number one, we need to pray. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17 and 18, Paul wrote, "Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." We need to always give thanks. That's what we read in Ephesians 5, verse 20. "Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." We need to be in a constant state of thankfulness. I want you to take your Old Testaments and turn them to the book of 1 Chronicles in chapter number 29. I want to read with you verses number 11 through 15. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, I'm going to begin reading in verse number 11. "Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. Indeed, everything that is in the heavens and the earth, yours is the dominion. O Lord, you exalt yourself as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you. and you rule over all. And in your hand is power and might, and in it lies your hand to make great and to strengthen everyone. Now therefore, our God, we thank you. We praise your glorious name. For who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer as generously as this? For all things come from you, and from your hand we have given you. For we are sojourners before you, and tenants, as all our fathers were. Our days on the earth are like a shadow, and there is no hope. In these passages and many others that we could point to, we need to understand that all that we have, all that we hope to have, anything that is gained, anything that brings us comfort, anything that we accomplish in this life could not have been accomplished by ourselves. It can only be accomplished through the patience, the love, the grace, and the mercy of God. And without God, we would be nothing. Without the love of God, we would have nothing. And without God, we could never be happy. And that's why so many people struggle in this life. That's why so many people are down. That's why so many people get discouraged, because they're trying to find happiness and they're trying to find it without God. It is not possible. So we need to pray. And we should always give thanks. We can overcome ingratitude if we learn to always overcome by giving thanks. We need to count our blessings and not our bruises. We need to bring to memory all the things and the blessing that God gives us. There are things in our life that have brought us great happiness. Your wife, your husband, your children, your grandchildren, your job, the opportunities that your job has provided you by the money that you make, the health and the ability that you have to provide yourself for yourself and your loved ones. Do you know I have been in countries where 70% of the people that live in that country cannot support their own family? I have seen people who live not day by day, hour by hour. And yet we throw away more that could feed nations like that hundreds of times over. We are blessed. This country that we live in, we have been blessed among some of the greatest countries that have ever existed. Many people look at this nation as the richest, the most prosperous, and the most loved nation in the earth. Do you wonder why millions of people try to get into this country? Do you wonder why people flee the borders of their country and flee to our borders? It is because of the prosperity and the ability to have that you have here that they don't have where they're at. But what others see as a blessing, I look at as a hindrance. Because what it does is it makes us self-sufficient. It makes us believe that we did all this by our own might, that we've done this by our own hand, and that we did it without God, and that we sustain it without God, and that we have gotten here without God. Nothing could be farther from the truth. We need to understand, ladies and gentlemen, that one of the things that we have as children of God is we have forgiveness of sin. Redemption. You know what a lot of people want in life? They want a second chance. They want to be able to wipe the slate clean and start again. You know, that's exactly what God did for us. God was willing to forgive us of our sin. He was willing to take our sin and take it to the cross and die for men and women who cared little about Him, who did not care what He was paying, did not care about the anguish and tribulation He went through, but understanding that He did it because He loved us, and He did it because He wanted to save us. And every day, we need to focus on the fact that we have been redeemed by the blood of Christ. We have hope of a better life. We have hope of eternity with God because of the love of His Son and because of the love of God that sent Him here. And we are blessed because we are forgiven. We are forgiven, and we have been bought with a price by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, 1 Peter 1, verse 18 and 19. And brethren, whatever else happens matters little. No matter what bumps you have, no matter how difficult it may become, what you have in store, if you will be faithful, far outweighs anything that you will be troubled with in this life. The troubles of this life are temporary. The things of God are eternal. And we need to focus on the blessing. And we need to not give so much attention to the bruising, because they will come and they will go. But the eternal things of God will last forever. Yes, we should always give thanks. But we need to accept your troubles without complaining. How can you overcome ingratitude? Except that things won't always go your way. Turn to James chapter 1. Look at James chapter 1 and verse number 2 and 3. My brethren, count it all joys when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. In the book of Romans chapter 8 and verse number 28, it says, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. We also read in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 10. Nor complain, as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. We need to understand that we're going to have trouble. We're going to have adversity. We're going to have trial, and we're going to have tribulation, and there is no way to escape it. It is going to happen. It is going to come. I want you to take your Bibles on and look at Ephesians chapter 3 and look at verse number 20. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 20. It says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. In Matthew the 5th chapter, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus said that it rains on the just and the unjust. That means that trouble comes to all. Read the book of Ecclesiastes. And the wise man Solomon told us that this life is full of trouble. Man is but a few days and full of sorrow. Our troubles can strengthen us. It can make us more dependent upon God. It can make us have a deeper appreciation for God. Or it can make us bitter. It can make us disillusioned. It can discourage us. And it can steal our hope in Jesus Christ. We need to quit having a pity party. And thank God for the opportunity that we have to suffer. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Look at verse 16. It says, therefore we do not lose heart. Even though the outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And we don't need to think that we're the only one. We don't need to think, poor me, I'm the only one that suffered. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 5. Look at the words of the Apostle Peter in verse number 9. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 9. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Let me ask you a question. Why is it that some people, when they have adversity and difficulty, they wear it very well? You know, I'm reminded that there's a gentleman that I'm greatly encouraged by. He's going through a difficult trial. And he's going through a fight. But yet he can make light of it. And he can laugh at it. He can laugh at himself. But I wonder if I could do that, if I was facing the things that he is facing. And I wonder in myself, how does a person do that? How did the person deal with that kind of adversity and that kind of trial and that kind of trauma and yet does not let it overwhelm them? You know how? Because they know if they lose, they still win. If I lose the fight, I still won the battle. Ladies and gentlemen, that's because the focus is on what's not seen. And it's not on the things that are here. Your troubles are temporary. The worst they can do is kill you. But if you're faithful, that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. Do you know all of us should live to die well? What do I mean by that, live to die well? We live our life and we accept whatever comes our way and we do it without complaining and we do it without feeling sorry for ourselves and we do it understanding that this is our lot, this is what we must do. We're going to trust God, we're going to lean upon Him, and even if we lose this physical battle, we still have come out on the winning side. Why? Because we have hope in Christ Jesus. I don't know. I really don't know how people think that complaining is going to change the equation of what you're going through. Complaining is not going to change it. It's going to make it worse. Feeling sorry for yourself is not going to help you to deal with it. We need to focus on what we have promised and what God says He will do. In 1 Peter 5, verse 7, it says, "Cast your care upon Him, for He careth for you." God says He cares. He did not say that He will take the struggle away. The struggle can make you stronger. It can make you more committed. It can refocus your priorities in a much different way. You know what I believe? I believe if you went to the doctor Tuesday and you had just had a battery of tests and he said, "I want you to sit down. We've done all these tests and we found out that you have cancer and it is terminal and there is nothing that we can do." Ladies and gentlemen, your priorities are about to change. The things that you worried about, the things that you fretted about, the things that you were concerned about, they will fly out the window. Because the only thing that will matter at that moment in time is what is my relationship with God. Because now death is not something that's going to happen. It is happening. And your priorities will change. Let me ask you something. Shouldn't we live our life prepared for that? Shouldn't we live our life prepared for that statement to be made to us? Shouldn't we live our life that even if that came my way, that it wouldn't change the love and the hope that I have in Christ Jesus, and it wouldn't make my life worse? Would it? Would it make it worse? You know what it would do? It would make you do something that you don't do now. You would really cherish life then, wouldn't you? And what would you want? More time. Because then time would be precious, wouldn't it? If you were told you had but a short time to live, time would take on a whole new meaning, wouldn't it? But you know what? That's the way time should always have that effect on us. Because we don't know when it'll run out. And so we need to accept our trouble. And we need to do it without complaining. But we also need to acknowledge what you have and what you would not trade. We need to acknowledge what we have and would not trade. You know, a lot of people spend a lot of time wishing what they have, wishing for something they wish they could have. And you know, sometimes we do so much of that, we don't appreciate on what we have and what we would not trade. What would you trade for all the spiritual blessings you have in Christ? What would you exchange after? In Ephesians 1 verse 3 it says, "All spiritual blessings are in Christ." What would you exchange for that? What would be more important than that? What would be more important than spiritual blessings in Christ? What about the promise that Jesus made in John 14? "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. John 14, verse 1 and 3. What is it that we would exchange for our mansion on high? We have a hope and a promise of that. What would we trade for that? And what would you trade to be able to address God as your Father? You know, not everybody can do that. Not everybody can bow their head and address God as your Father at any time, in any place, under any circumstance. But as a child of God, you can. Under any conditions, under any situation. And you know that God hears your prayer. What about Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7? We have forgiveness of sin and redemption through His blood. What would we give in exchange for that? I ask you a question. Does it get any better than what it is now? Yes. Absolutely yes. You know, I have religious people that come to my door, and they knock on my door and they want to talk to me about Jesus Christ. And I've had them ask me this question. Do you want to live on the earth forever? Absolutely not. No. I don't want to live on the earth forever. I want to go to heaven. I want to go somewhere where there's no pain, no sorrow, no anguish, no suffering, no sickness, no injustice, no evil, no sin, no wrestling with Satan, and no more being weary and tired and growing old. That's what this world has to offer. I want something better. And so I'm going to try to acknowledge what I have. And I'm not going to give that up for anything. I have hope. I have real hope in Christ Jesus. I have a real promise of someone that does not negate His promises. Someone that does not turn his back on what He says. Someone that keeps His word. And I have the promise of God that whatever befalls me in this life, it will never overcome me if I will trust Him and let Him lead me through. It cannot defeat me. And I won't trade that for anything. Not for anything. Not for all the money in the world. Not for all the pleasure in the world. And not for anything this world can give me. There's nothing that it can give me that can equal what I have in Christ Jesus. You can overcome ingratitude if you remember that. That what you have is too precious to lose and too precious to exchange. And it will get better. Another thing that will help us, if we remember the gifts that we have, instead of coveting more. How much is enough? How much is really enough, brethren? How big a house is enough? How new a car is enough? How much money in my CD is enough? How much money in my retirement is enough? How much is enough? What's really important in my life? There's nothing wrong with planning for the future. There's nothing wrong with planning for your retirement. But if you do it at the expense of your relationship with Christ, you have made the bargain that you will eternally regret. Turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 6. You know, these words are so simple, and I know that we understand them. You've read them many times. But do you understand the application of them? Look at verse 6. Now, godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. I want you to notice verse 7. We brought nothing in, we're taking nothing out. Little Ethan was just born last night. He brought nothing into this world when he came in this world. And when he leaves and when you and I leave, we will leave in the same way that we came. We will take nothing with us. All the things that we strive for to possess, all the things that we accumulate, all the things that we put so much faith and so much effort and so much time into accumulating, they will be left for somebody else to fret over and to fight over and to do something with. They're not going with us. Is it worth wanting more instead of learning to be content with what we have? The Bible says in Hebrews the 13th chapter, verse 5 and 6, He will never leave us nor forsake us. And you remember the parable of the rich young farmer who had such a great plentiful harvest that he didn't know what to do with it. And so he tore down his barns, he built bigger barns, and he put up all them goods and stored them up. And then he sat back and rest and eat, drink, and be merry because he had things prepared for many years. Do you remember the Lord called that rich young farmer, that rich farmer? You remember what he said in Luke 12 and verse 20? He said, "Thou fool, tonight thy soul will be required of thee, and where shall all these things be?" Now, it's not wrong to have things. But ladies and gentlemen, it is wrong to covet. It is wrong to want more and more and more simply so I can have more ease in this life. We need to understand that we need to be thankful for what we have. And you know one of the things that would truly help us in that is to see people who don't have what we have. How easy is it for us to flip on a light? I've been to countries where the only light they have is from the sun and the moon. In a house that's no bigger than my family room that six people live in, and that they never complain, they're never sorrowful, they're happy, and yet we have all this comfort. You know, I read an interesting thing the other day that 67% of the people that live in the United States are unhappy. What? Unhappy? Unhappy. We got a lot to be unhappy about. We live in the most prosperous country in the world. We live in the mightiest country in the world. We have more opportunity and luxury here than any country on the face of the earth. You can live anywhere you want. You can work in anything you want. You can be anything that you want. And you can worship God in any way that you want. And you can raise your children or not raise them any way you want. And you can marry whoever you want. And you can live in every kind of lifestyle that you want. And we have things at the flip of a switch. We have the most convenient life on earth. And 67% of our people are unhappy about it. You know why? Because they don't appreciate what they have. And I'm afraid that some of my brethren are in that 67%. We don't appreciate what we have in Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, we are blessed. One of the things that Brother Conover says in his prayer many times when he prays is we are the most blessed people on this earth, and that is a true statement. And you can learn to appreciate that when you go to somewhere where that statement cannot be made. But you know what I find very, very telling to me? That I don't see the unhappiness in those people that I see over here. I wonder why that is. I know the answer to that. They've accepted their condition. And they're grateful for what they have. And they don't worry about what they don't have. We have just the opposite problem here. We're not thankful for what we have, and we fret about wanting more. Ladies and gentlemen, that's ingratitude. And that's a sin. Ladies and gentlemen, it is so easy to forget how blessed God has given lives that God has given us. You think about your life. You think about it real hard. And you think about what you have. And you think about what you've been able to do up until this point in your life. And you compare it to many other people. And you will see that things aren't as bad as you think. And these 67% of the people here that are unhappy, I got a suggestion. Go somewhere else. You think you're unhappy now? Go somewhere else and see if that will bring you happiness. No, the reason you're unhappy is because you're seeking happiness in the wrong place. Happiness can only become with God. Happiness can only come in understanding what truly is valuable and what truly are riches. In a few moments, we're going to sing a song of encouragement. And we want you to consider your own life. We want you to understand that overcoming ingratitude means that you've got to count your blessings instead of your bruises. You're going to have bruises. You're going to have difficulty. But you need to count your blessings first. And you need to accept your trouble without complaining. Quit wallowing in self-pity. Quit trying to find someone to blame. Quit trying to put your finger on it and step up to the plate and do what you can do. Acknowledge what you have and what you would not trade anything for. And then remember your gifts instead of coveting more and wanting more. And I have a simple question for you this morning. And my question is so simple that anybody can understand. And my question is simply this. How thankful are you? How grateful to God are you for your life? For the things that He's done in your life. For the things that He continues to do in your life. And for the blessings that He showers upon you every day that you live in this life. If you are here and you're not a child of God, one of the things that God has done for you is He's given you time. He's given you time to recognize and acknowledge that you need Him. That you need Him and you need to change your life. That you need to repent of your sin. That you need to express your faith in Christ. That you need to confess His name before men. And that you need to submit yourself to the watery grave of baptism in order that you might contact the blood of Christ, that you might be added to the family of God, that you could have your sins washed away, Acts 22, verse 16, and that you could arise to walk in newness of life and have that clean slate that you so much desire in life. Romans 6, verse 3 and 4. God's blessed you with another opportunity to do that. And if you're here and you are a child of God and you've wandered away and you've gone away, you need to understand that God has blessed you to continue living. He has blessed you with opportunity and time to make your life right. To make the proper step. To make the proper decision. No, sin is not something that we acknowledge as being good. But what God does acknowledge is a tender heart that's willing to say, I'm sorry, I was wrong, and I want God to forgive me. And the Bible tells us in 1 John 1 and verse 9, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us. No one judges anyone. God's realm is that realm, not mine, not yours. Ladies and gentlemen, are we thankful people? Are we really grateful for who we are and what we have in Christ Jesus? Or are we dissatisfied? Are we discouraged? Are we disillusioned? Because we have our priorities in the wrong place. Overcoming ingratitude. The world makes it very easy for you to become unthankful. You must fight against it. And you must learn to be thankful to the God of heaven for life, for breath, for all things as together we stand.